League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
It ain't fast now. The guy that might be dragging us down a little bit. Good news is he's here on time. It is The Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM. It is a suspect edition of the show, and it will be for the next 3 days, as BMAC is here, Blank, that's me, is here, and B as for Barry is here, as we welcome Barry Lamanek back into the studio, and we will be delivering you entertainment and sports for the next 3 days. Welcome in, my friend.
What's up, man? How you doing?
It's good to see you. I mean, we barely talk because you don't return phone calls, so at least it's good that we can do, as you used to say, organic radio. Well, here it is.
Well, yeah, it's good to be here. It's, man, you know how life has a tendency to just pile on all at once?
Sure. Yes,
that
I do.
That is what's happening right now to me, man. It has been the last 30 days-ish have just been absolutely insane for me, which so I'm kind of glad to just get a little radio time. So this has come at the perfect time, because I feel like sometimes, like when we used to do the show, sometimes it would just be a sanctuary for me to just...
Well, that was definitely later on.
Not early. No,
but that was something else.
Just to shut out the rest of the world, turn the mic on, and just relax and have some fun. And because, man, it's been tough. And it all started, and I kind of was thinking about this, the genesis of it all was I had this door-to-door salesman come by, and
your neighborhood allows that still?
No, that's part of the store.
Okay. Right.
So our neighborhood is a no soliciting neighborhood. Big sign, right? So I was on the back patio. My wife yells at me if I call it a porch. It's a patio. I'm like, okay, it doesn't matter. I'm on the back patio. I'm smoking a cigar, having a nice old fashioned, as I tend to do sometimes, right? And the ring goes off, and my wife texts me. This is how lazy we are. My wife texts me and goes, hey, can you get at the door?
She's in the house texting you?
Nora does not answer the
door.
Now,
let's remember that I've always referred to it as palatial Lamanek Manor.
So it doesn't, no.
It's like 95,000 square feet.
My wife has never answered the door at our house in the 15 years we've, or the 11 years we've lived there. Never once has she answered the door. Not once. Wow. I mean, maybe when her family, her sister comes over. Never once will she answer the door, which that's fine. You know, that's a, I feel like it's kind of a, the husband thing to do. You know, what if it's a,
that's
what
fair.
If it's a weirdo or, you know? So that's fine. So she texts me, hey, you're going to get the door. I was like, okay.
It's so weird.
So put down my cigar, put down my old fashioned, well, get up, walk to the door. I open it, and this guy just, he's a young cat, and he's on one of those Segway scooter things, right?
Okay.
And he just, he sticks his hand out overly aggressively, and he goes, hi. I'm door-to-door sales guy. And I just wanted to punch him in the throat right away. Just right off the scooter, you know, skin and elbow, just immediately super aggressive and annoying, right? And yeah. I just went, hey, I'm not interested. I was like, bro, don't come at me with them weak-ass jokes. Like, you know what I mean? Don't come on my... You picked the wrong house to start making lame-ass jokes on. I make lame-ass jokes for a living. Don't bring that here. And he goes, how you doing? I was like, what do you want?
Oh, wow.
I don't do that,
man. Well, that turned in a hurry.
Nah, you don't... See, that's my thing, bro. I don't do pleasantries with door-to-door salespeople. You came to my house. Like, if I go to your store or if I go to your establishment, place of business or whatever to buy something, mm-hmm. unless it's cars, I'm rude to, you know. Yeah. But otherwise, I'm pleasant to the people because I came to you to buy something. But if you come to my house uninvited to sell me something, you don't get pleasantries and kindness. You showed up here. You know
You're
what I mean?
A mean ass.
I didn't ask you to come here. Like, don't expect no courtesy.
Now, does Nora stand behind you like a ventriloquist?
No, she was sitting on the couch ignoring the whole damn thing.
Lucky you, by the way.
So I go, hey, bro, this is a no soliciting neighborhood, man. You just need to go on. He goes, no, man, you're missing out. I was like, bro, I don't care what it is. You just need to get on your little scooter and scoot. He goes, it's not a scooter, it's a Segway. I was like, well, Segway your ass on up off my porch. And he kind of looked at me like, are you serious? I was like, I'm serious, bro. Go on and get. And he goes, I think you're missing out. This is a great deal. I was like, bro, you guys have already been here. I remember you, your little partner. Y'all had this little scooter thing, man. I don't care what this is, but I remember y'all. You need to just go, man. I'm not interested. And I started to shut the door. He goes, you're going to regret this. This is a great deal. I said, man, I've already told you 3 times now. I don't want what you have. He goes, we have a great deal on pest control. This is the best deal you're going to ever get. I was like, man, you're pretty cocky for a dude that could be replaced by a can of Raid.
Pest control?
And he just stopped when I said
that. You should have said, well, you're the biggest pest I've seen in like a month. Get the hell out of here.
Yeah, no kidding, right? I was like, spray yourself.
Seriously?
That would have been funny. That would have been funny if I was like, spray yourself.
Yeah.
I was like, you're pretty cocky for a dude that could be replaced by a can of Raid. And he just, like, stopped. Like, yeah, this dude's a jerk. Like, I was like, are we done? He goes, I'm telling you, this is a really good deal.
Oh, man.
I was like, look, Dorkin man, I don't have time for this. And he goes, sir, you don't have to be rude. I said, man, I done told you 15 times I'm not interested in what you have, but you're steadily talking. He goes, that's because you're going to miss out on a great deal. And I just shut the door in his face. Boop. He was mid-sentence. I just shut the door in his face and turned around and walked off. Joe, Brian, I kid y'all not, he kept talking.
While the door was shut?
Yes.
How long are we talking about?
35, 40 seconds. I swear to God, this is not an exaggeration. I am not making up the story for effect and fun. I can call Nora, text Nora to ask her, Joel. I literally walked to the patio. As I'm opening the back door of the patio, my wife turns to me and says, why is he still standing at the door talking? I kid you not. 35, 40 seconds.
That's unbelievable.
And I was like, I don't know. Maybe the pest fumes or something. The pest control fumes have gotten to this man and he's crazy. I have no idea, but he can't take a hint. I'll tell you that. And I just went out to the patio, started smoking my cigar again, drinking my drink, and just left him there. He stayed for almost a minute, a full minute before he rode off.
That's not just that.
That's wild.
That's not even persistence. That's just flat out weird.
That's crazy, bro. What are you doing? Like, I don't know that, and but ever since then, life has been downhill. So
maybe, I mean, I don't think you handled it wrong, but like,
maybe he was a witch.
But lucky you, Nora goes back to go on the couch. Lisa wants me to handle that, but then she's like the expert behind the scenes. So then I'm talking to the guy, and I'm like, yeah, no, you know, I think we're good, guy. You know, and he's like, well, where are you going to be tomorrow at about 1 o'clock? Because we're going to be back in the neighborhood. And I'm like, well, and she's like, in the kitchen. And I'm like,
if you want me to handle it.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't need coaching behind me.
Yeah, look, if you wanted to get it, then get it. But if I'm going to be here talking to this man, let me talk.
Yeah, and she does that all the time. Nah. And I'll just like side eye her going, I mean, you want to do this? Because I don't.
Yeah.
And then she keeps wanting to interject. And then when I shut the door, I get my review.
Review?
It's like you get your Yelp or your review because I shut the door. She goes, you know, you never should have said that in the first place. What you should have said immediately was that we already have somebody and we don't need this person. I go, then why don't you do it?
Dude, that's hilarious.
Because I get the whole like graded review of what I did wrong and did right. I'm going, then next time, get your happy ass to the door and you open it.
You do it. And I'll take notes and let you know how you did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good luck with that, bro. You know as well as I do.
That's not a battle you can win.
Yeah. No. You know as well as I do, as husbands and men, we're all talk.
That is a fact.
If they were sitting here right now, we'd both be like, yeah, I would not say that.
You guys have seen that very first Key and Peele sketch, right?
I'm not sure.
Where the men talk about how they use the B word to their wife. And they're real boisterous about it. Anyway, it rings true in this situation.
Oh, that's hilarious. Yeah. No, that ain't happening. No, ever since then, dude, life has just been crazy. Yeah. Just an insane amount of things.
Maybe you got cursed.
Maybe he put a hex. I need to put an egg under my house.
You know what he did is he probably did the Kyrie Irving. Yeah, he probably had like the incense on the Segway and he like sped around your house and he created like the circle of death inside of it. And now you're like Brian said, now you're
I do
cursed.
Have a circle drive. Maybe that's what he did. He just, I don't know. Dude.
You better go review the cameras to see if he didn't have little incense and took, you know, put
I
a little
look.
A curse on your lawn.
That's crazy.
I'm not mentioning lawn with you again.
I don't know. I think door-to-door sales guys should just, you should be able to do whatever, like spray them with water, punch them in the face. Like
should
I
be
just,
like the Purge. You can do anything you want.
But oh my God, dude. Yes. That's amazing idea.
I don't know if these guys are like trying to work on like their practicing their communication skills for these kind of things. Because every person we get to, it's not even that they won't take no for an answer. They try to, they think they've got these little quirky things that are going to get you to re-engage.
Yeah.
And it's so annoying.
Never
it's
tell like, you the story.
I realize
that
you have somebody, but who is that somebody? Because if you give me what they have for you, I'm pretty sure I can give you better. I'm pretty sure you can get the hell off my lawn.
I tricked this one guy one time. He was selling cleaner, and he was like, "This will clean your tires." I was like, "I don't believe you." And I tricked him into cleaning all four tires, and then told him I didn't want it.
See, you are nasty.
See, this is why you're cursed.
This is why you're cursed.
This is why you're cursed.
The more you talk, the more I'm starting to side with the guy.
I was like, well, you can't just clean one tire, bro. You got to make it match. I was like, that looks pretty good, but you might have just scrubbed too hard. I was like, let me see you do it with the other side of the brush. And then he did the other one. I was like, well, you can't leave it. And then he did the other one. I was like, I'm not interested.
I had a guy tires clean. You know, you get a lot of college kids because I think in the neighborhood, because we have the sign too, or we have the rules that no one fought because you get the door to door guys. But we get the college kids trying to get the money.
I don't mind kids. You know what I mean?
But like, the college kid, I don't mind a kid. The college kid, unless he gets cocky.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, did you want the inside of your garbage cans cleaned after the trash?
Which
trash
is
day
a
tomorrow?
That is so wild. I go, there's a business that cleans.
I go, wait, you're not doing most of the window washing, gutter cleaning, things like that.
Yeah.
I go, wait, you're cleaning the inside of the garbage driveway? Cans? I go, what do you charge? And of course, I already get, and I go, look. I'm going to ask. I need to know
I'm
this.
I'm going to ask.
He's like, yeah, we charge $25 for both garbage cans. I go,
oh, that's not bad.
I go, you know, if I go to HEB, how much a small container of bleach is? And he goes, well, why would I know that?
That's
I go,
got a scrub on the
I
inside.
Go, because all I got to do is take the hose with the power wash thing and a small container of bleach and water. Clean that bad boy out, and I'm good.
I'm going to tell you, I used to be that guy. I used to be like, you know what? People in my neighborhood have too much money. Like, this is the most, this is the dumbest neighborhood because they pay to have their garbage cans clean. And then one time I missed the garbage, and we had a bunch of food, and then we got, like, maggots and stuff. And I was like, I had to clean the garbage cans. I was like, oh, I get it now. Okay. This is why you pay somebody else. Because they're tall, and I had to get, like, in the garbage can. Like, again. I'm almost feet off the ground inside the garbage. It was disgusting, bro. It was nasty.
First of all, you eat improperly, and your garbage is a science project, which shouldn't be.
No, you cook, you throw stuff away. You like, there's two of us, but
nonetheless, all you got to do is.
Don't we always have leftovers you got to throw away?
Don't you
like you never
bag
go to the
it?
Restaurant like
double bag it?
No, this is what I tell people at the restaurant. They're like, "You want that to go?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'll throw that away at home for you." That's we always take it to go. We never
right
eat
after
it.
The it's trash just, is picked up. All you do is put half bleach, half water, throw it in the bottom, and then hit the hose so it bubbles up and scrubs a little bit. Dump it out in the street by the street. You're good.
I ain't doing that after every trash day.
Oh, you are. You are bougie.
After every
you are
trash
bougie.
Day?
Are we supposed to be putting bleach in the sewers?
I don't care.
No.
Probably it's, not, right?
Brian, technically
that's why
it's
there's
half
so
bleach.
Many fish and turtles dying.
Technically, it's only half bleach. It's not full bleach.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's
my,
why all the
RIP to
it
half
down.
The fish and
I've
turtles.
I've diluted
then.
It.
This is why the tuna tastes funny.
Because Joel's putting bleach
fault.
In
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Well, call Charlie. Because the good tasting tuna just got worse. How about that? Hey, we're just getting started. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM. We're going to be with you all the way up until 6 o'clock. We'd love to take your interactions. 713-780-3776. You can call that number. You can text that number. Hit us on social media at Sacked by BMAC, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, at Barry is funny. Lots to get to, including the, depending on how you look at it, glass half full, glass half empty, the good of the All-Star game last night or the bad of it continues. Let us know your thoughts. We'll let you know ours after the feedback of what happened last night. That and a whole lot more coming up on the show. It is the Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You found the Killer Bees, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Back on the Bees, it is the Suspect Edition, starting the way we always used to start it, with a little icebreaker. Plenty of feedback on the door-to-door salesman, including some dumbass who said, hey, you should just solicit the listeners to see if there's a door-to-door salesman and then interview them. Okay, yeah. Even in the days of the suspects, I don't think we'd have gone that far because that would have been really trivial. I'm going to allow this one just simply because it's a joke from Jasper, but it is the most disputed thing that we've ever had on the show. Lamas Mac, I've got a question for you for lawn talk.
Uh-oh.
I think a push mower lawn looks better than a riding mower lawn. Am I a bad father for making my 12-year-old push our lawn mower and do the lawn instead of using the riding mower?
That's not a lawn mower question. That's a parenting question.
Besides that, Jasper, wait a nice flex thing that we've got a riding mower.
Yeah.
You must live in Barry's neighborhood.
That's a parenting question. Yes, you're a terrible dad.
Someone said the curb address painter I will tolerate. I don't like that either. I don't need someone painting two numbers on my curb for $45. Like, I've got a sign clearly out in front that says what the number on my house is. I don't think I need to also put it on the curb. You seen that where they do like the Texas flag and all that?
Yeah,
and they put
the
number on it on the curb? I don't need all that.
I don't want anybody coming to my house, period. Like, Girl Scouts, sure, I'm fat. You got to keep the chins up. Other than that, nobody come to my house. Unless I invite you, don't just show up to my house, knock on my door, and try to sell me something. I don't want what you have. If I did, I'm going to get online and get it, or I'm going to come to your establishment and get it. Otherwise, just don't come to my house.
Yeah,
and if you do, expect to be talked rude to, and don't be shocked when I do.
You know what I don't like? The other lure is, hey, but your neighbors, two of your neighbors down the street,
that's
already,
what he said.
Yeah, they're already signed in for up tomorrow. Why don't you join them? Why don't you get the hell off my porch?
So you know what I did? Because I am the mayor of Pettyville, I got on the Facebook group. I was like, hey, there's
something. I was just going to ask you if you did.
I did. I was like, hey, there's some jackass on a scooter rolling around. And he's going door to door selling pesticides, and so be careful. And this one dude was like, I'm just going to answer the door of my drawers and see what he does. I bet he leaves. And then somebody else was like, yeah, he came to my house. He wouldn't take no for an answer. I had to shut the door, and he kept talking. I was like, I know! It wasn't just me.
Someone said, Barry, you live in my neighborhood? We have the most persistent pest control people. The lady said, I told the lady, I'm good. She said, me too, and kept trying to pitch me this guy. Tyler and Conroe said that.
Bro.
Barry, someone said you should have called the police. Someone else said.
That feels over the
that's
top.
That's a little
that's
aggressive.
That's over the top.
This is why I have guns. I don't need to call the police.
Someone said, Barry, I think I live in your neighborhood. They came to the door, Segway and all. He ignored my solicitation sign, so I ignored him at the door and walked off. And he did stand there and talk for a while. And then the final one was, life is talking to Barry like Michael Beasley talks to Lance Stevenson. If you don't know, Google it. It is rather entertaining. Speaking of entertaining, the All-Star game last night. I'm going to be honest, 100% honest. Fell asleep in the – I turned it off, actually, in the ninth inning because it was still a two-run deficit. I commended and tipped my cap to the American League for making it better than 6-0, but I was done. And I go to the gym this morning, and one of my buddies goes, hey, did you see that unbelievable finish in the All-Star game? I go, what? He's like, the swing-off. I go, swing-off?
So you watched up until the ninth inning?
Watched is a loose term, Brian.
Okay.
I was in and out, peeping it, checking it, going back, doing other things.
I'm just trying to, like...
I was out at 6-0. I was out at 2-0. I was, like, I was really intrigued by the first inning. Like I told you, guys yesterday, I was in on the fact that I wanted to see Skeens and Scooble against the top three or four on both sides. Those are great matchups. That's compelling to me. When I felt bad for Scooble because I thought that he was distracted by the fact that they had him and and the big dumper and everybody talking to each other that it kind of took away his concentration level. But then when they got two runs off of him, I was like, I'm going to be probably out real quick. And then when it got to six, I'm like, I'm definitely done.
Yeah, okay. I mean, that's more fair. But when I thought you were saying you watched up and you make the time commitment for eight innings and you get tonight, like, nah, like, you might as well just watch the last inning. You're that far in.
I didn't watch it last night. I recorded it. I hung out with the wife and said, I'll just watch it in the morning. And then, yeah, I kind of had it on, was, you know, doing stuff. And
in between fighting people coming to your door trying to sell you pesticides.
I watched it up to the seventh and I was like, this just sucks. There's just, look, I was thinking about this driving in, and I'm not trying to derail this conversation. I love the star. Y'all know me. You know, my favorite sport is baseball. Yeah. It always has been. I love baseball. I love Shohei Ohtani. I think he's should go down as one of, if not the greatest baseball players of all time because of what he can do, what he has already done, and what he will do. Aaron Judge is a beast. He's like this generation's Barry Bonds and will go down as maybe the greatest hitter of all time, blah, blah, blah. But there is something about today's stars in baseball that's just not doing it for me. I don't know what it is. It's just not – I don't know if it's just that they don't have, like, flair, and I don't mean, like, buttons on the apron at Bennigan's, but I just don't know what it is, but there's just no sexiness to it. It was just – it was cool. It was neat. I do like that they're mic'd up on the mound and the – that's cool, but that novelty wears off quick. It was just okay. See, I just checked out in the seventh and was like, I'll do something else. I got better things to do.
I think because it's been such a topic over the last couple of years, and specifically that the fact that from the Pro Bowl, which sucks, to the fact, and they finally did the right thing and just completely pulled the plug on that, flag football or not is dumb. From the basketball standpoint of no defense being played and everybody just trying to do, like, you know, highlight reel stuff. And that's hard to watch. Baseball, at least for the first couple innings in particular, you get some competitive at-bats. You get some matchups you want to see. But overall, I was thinking about this going, here's the thing. Baseball's the most gimmicky of all three sports because, you know, they've already got the man-for-man rule. They've already got the pitch clock. They're already doing things just to try to appease the fans more than just keeping the game the way it's always been played. But then what people are really engaged in now is how this game ended. And like now, the people that were upset about the Manfred Mann rule about the guy on second base in extra innings, they're the ones saying, hey, here's an idea. Instead of that, let's do the swing off in the regular season and let's do that to decide regular season games. To me, that's worse.
Yeah. It's like, I don't mind innovation, right? I don't mind because if you think about it, most of the things in sport is innovation from the original sport, right? The forward pass in football was innovation. And when it first came about, people were like, what is this? Look at this. This is witchery. You know, they didn't know what it was. This is tomfoolery and craziness. This is not how football is supposed to be played. The 3-point line. In basketball, it was mocked. It was, you know, we were told that this would make a mockery of the game. And now it is, you know, could you imagine basketball without the 3-point line? So there are things that when it's first introduced, it feels gimmicky. But then there are things that are just gimmicky.
They're just gimmicky.
And I think a swing off is just gimmicky. You know what I mean? I think a runner on second is just giving bigger bases. I'm good with because that's also, you know, that can take safety into.
Safety for sure.
So there's, you know, I don't mind certain things like that. A pitch clock, I don't mind that. You know, I don't mind it at all.
Look, it takes the fat guy out of baseball. Jeremy and I have had this debate, but I think the pitch clock.
But that's not the point. It speeds it up.
It does, but it also puts a lot more pressure on the
pitcher. But the whole argument about speeding up baseball I thought was stupid to begin with. You know my point on that. I've been bitching about that since we started our show way back in the day. Baseball is 3.5 hours. Guess what? Spoiler alert, everybody. So is football. Anyways, there's always going to be gimmicky stuff, and there's always going to be things that move the sport forward. It's just it's such a fine line between the two.
And that's the thing. If it was the 3-point line, to me, is still it's a skill that's associated with the game. and you just reward guys that can shoot the basketball a little bit more, but you're rewarding a skill that's already in the game. Like hitting a batting practice pitcher and hitting it over the fence.
I didn't even see the swing off. What were the rules for it? What
so,
was it?
And this is where like, a lot of people also
by
had.
By the way, real quick, I do like the automated balls and strikes and being able to challenge right away.
I can
away.
Tell you one group that Loved doesn't.
The umps, who cares? Yeah. But I love the fact that you can tap your helmet, they put it on the screen, and we move on. I got no problem with that.
Well, because, again, it's the same reason why, right. Like in basketball, I want replay on any important call in the last 2 minutes. I don't care if I have a challenge or not, because at the end of the day, the goal is to get the call right.
Yes.
Right? But those are calls. That makes sense. Balls and strikes, those are key elements. That makes sense. To me, getting into a swing-off to decide regular season baseball. And then I had people that I saw on social media saying, and they should actually consider doing this in the playoffs too. You shut your mouth right now because that's the one time where you at least get the true traditional baseball the way it's supposed to be played.
What are the rules of the swing off?
So the swing off is that you supply your batting practice pitcher, each team. Okay. And then you pick, let me give you the rules.
No, it's like a home run derby.
Well, I'm out already. I'm just saying, I'm out already. So you're not even facing the other team's ace or closer.
No, because your goal is to hit a home run.
You're facing their batting practice. I'm out. So now you got Aaron Judge facing Glass Joe. No, bro, I'm out. That's just the stupidest thing ever.
A punch-out reference. Nice. Yeah,
thank you. It's
I mean,
stupid.
Glass No plays pitches for the Dodgers.
Yeah, that's dumb.
But okay, so the rules are, which also, because you're going to throw into the other factor, which is everybody expects, well, the National League, you're going to see Otani. You're going to see, you know, you're going to see Judge on the American League with the big dumper. You're going to see all these big power hitters, and it's going to be exciting. No, the managers had to predetermine and set up and submit who their three guys were going to be. Each side provides three guys. Mm-hmm. Each guy gets three swings. You can take unlimited pitches, but once you swing three times, that is your end score result. However many home runs you hit after you took three swings, doesn't matter how many pitches you get, okay? And you alternate one league then the other until it is you can predetermine after the three who had the most home runs. The problem is that a lot of these guys skip out. Like, they know their start, like Judge. Judge is starting in the All-Star game. He gets taken out in the second inning or third inning. Well, he goes in, he showers, he gets in street clothes, and goes, hey, if I get out of here quick enough, I got, you know, an extra, you know, couple
after
of hours.
After the party is the after party.
And before I have to go start getting ready to get back on the road to travel to play baseball on Friday. So all these guys that you expected to see in it aren't in it. You get guys that you probably don't want to see in a lot of cases in it. And then it comes down to who hits more home runs out of their three guys in the scenario I just laid out for you.
So it's not even like, see, because in the case of hockey and soccer, where you have shootouts, you're actually facing the other team's goalie. You're actually facing their starting
and
goalie.
And it's your best player's
been
kicking,
pulled.
Probably.
Exactly. It's not Judge versus, you know, some rando, some old man with a tired shoulder throwing, you know, puss balls and Bugs Bunny looping. You know, it's Ephus pitches. It's stupid. What they should have done, if they wanted to do it right, is taken one guy on the staff that maybe was just like, hey, if you need me in extra innings, I'll go, but like a Hunter Brown, for example, that made the team and maybe wasn't going to pitch or maybe was good for one AB or whatever. But and I'm not saying that because he did start. But maybe there was a guy that was like Clayton Kershaw, mm-hmm. right? He got in, but he wasn't going to go for very long. Now, it's not a great example because he needed to go in so he could walk out and wave his cap and that be his swan song. Mm-hmm. But there was a guy like that that wasn't going to pitch for very long. So what you do is you say, this is our swing-off pitcher. He's probably not going to pitch anyways, but if he does, it's not going to be for very long.
But the objective isn't to get him out. The objective is to throw up a puss ball.
But let me finish. Because the swing-off would be like, okay, if you get, you know, if you make contact, that's a point. If you get a single, double, triple home run, they're all worth points. But if you get out, you get out. Like, make it more competitive. Make it skill on skill. Right? If I strike you out, that's a point for my team. If you get a hit, a single, that's a point. Two is a double's worth two, a triple's worth three, or whatever. Like contact is one, home run is two, strikeout is two, whatever. Something like that to make it where it is competitive for and you know, equal for both sides.
We'll see at 3 a.m.
It's stupid though.
Because then you're creating another game within a game for how long that would probably take.
That was far too complicated for me.
No, I mean, I overcomplicated it, but what I'm saying is at least you could have it to where –
It's still the game.
It's the purity of actually true baseball.
Yes, because you've got a real pitcher facing a real hitter, and there's the ability for both sides to come out of it with a win. Instead of just, now we're just watching the home run derby at the end of the All-Star game. Well, we already saw that. I've been out on the home run derby for years. I don't want to see that now decide the All-Star game or any game.
All right, well, we'll continue this on the other side because there's a few tidbits from the All-Star game, but let us know your thoughts. 713-780-3776. Call, text, hit us on social media. Usual Suspects version of the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM.
ESPN 97.5. Listening to the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Just let this roll for a little bit. After all, you know what today is, right? Just to really rattle some cages of the back in the day loyals. It's a Way Back Wednesday edition of the Suspects. Give us your top five. No, please don't. Hey, want to remind you guys, tomorrow we are going to be out at McCormick and Schmick's at the Town and Country location. Unbelievable food, great atmosphere. It's a great restaurant. You made even better by the fact we're going to be there from 12 to 6. BMAC is probably going to be doing a little bit of interacting and hosting as well. Paul's going to be out tomorrow. Will Kunkel's going to probably fill in along with BMAC out there from 12 to 3. Barry and I are going to do 3 to 6. Stop by, say hi. It'd be great to see everybody. But McCormick & Schmick's is a phenomenal restaurant, and the Town and Country location is a really nice place to hang out. So stop by and see us there. And then Friday, we're going to be at East River 9 as well. So if you get a chance, swing by, say hi. We'd love to see you. That's part of the summer circuit, by the way. When you're there, register to win the grand prize for the summer, which is an unbelievable grand prize, by the way. A pair of brand new e-bikes from Power On Electric Bicycle Company. That's a $4,000 value.
Dang.
You've been around this place long enough to know that's one of the best prizes we may have ever given out.
Yeah, for real. That's pretty fantastic. Yeah, heck yeah.
All right. Lots of texts and responses on all of this. lots of good humor on this as well. Back to the door-to-door salesman, 281 ending in 0612 says, tell the salesman we shoot every third one of you, so you might ought to make peace with God now.
That's a great answer.
Very well played.
I'm using that next time. Thank you.
Yes, that was well done. Someone said, early part of Kareem's career, the commissioner banned the slam dunk. The swing off is garbage, Barry, like your dirty-ass garbage can.
What the? Wow.
I mean, they just had it all
super aggressive.
I don't mind it at all, by the way. Baseball needs a time limit. Only pro sport that doesn't have a clock because of how slow it is. See, this is exactly who baseball is marketing to, and this is exactly why I'm against it, because that is a minority opinion, not by anything other than how casual you are as a baseball fan. Yeah. Baseball's been played this way for a long period of time, and again, if families can't, then leave when you – stay as long as you can. Leave when you have to.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that you have to change and implement the game that's been being played the same way for that long a period of time.
Yeah, you don't need a time. I've never understood that argument about baseball being a slow game. Compared to basketball, yes. But football, it's not.
Football's a pretty fast-paced
game. No, it's not. Unless both teams are running a no-huddle.
No,
think about a play. How long is the play clock in football? 40 seconds?
35-40.
And think about when they usually snap the ball with how much time left on the clock?
Five-ish.
Okay. So they stand around for 30, 35 seconds. Let's just do this. Let's just see if we all want to be quiet for 30 to 35 seconds. Anybody want to do that on air and see how long that feels?
I think we'll have alarms going off.
Yeah. You want to see how long that feels?
See, I just 30
to 35 seconds is a long time between plays. There's a 10-second pitch clock now, or what is it, 10, 12 seconds, whatever it is, in baseball. And it wasn't even taking that long without it. So it's like...
But Barry, here's the thing. You can say that both games end up being 3 to 3.5. But the reason why football is 3.5 is because of the length of the halftime show, the length to get all the commercials in, the other things. But once you get into a team with possession of the football, no matter what the play clock is from play to play, most times they're either going up-tempo, they're playing faster. It's all the other things that are money-making that slow down football that you can kind of get through easier.
Yeah, they would kick the ball off and then go to commercial and then come back. And then, you know what I mean? Like they were supposed to have fixed that, but still, I mean, pace of play in football is not, if you think about it, it's because they do a good job of filling it appropriately and whatnot. But, I mean, it's really not that fast, though.
See, I would disagree, Brian. I don't know where you are on this, but I think that, one, like I said, I think football, especially because of the fact that unless someone goes out of bounds, and even now they've even changed and tweaked those rules a little bit, the clock keeps running. You know, teams want momentum. They want tempo because they get into a rhythm that I don't feel like football's – baseball, you're saying that about a pitch. Well, if there's no action on the pitch, well, here we go again. Until someone actually puts bat to baseball and puts it in play – you're sitting there restarting that and doing that up to, you know, 6-7 times with foul balls.
Yeah, but that's part of the game, though. A pitch, a foul ball, all of that is part of the game. So if you don't like that, then you just don't like baseball. But, that, I mean, standing around in a huddle is not football.
I just don't think there's as much standing around as you think, Brian.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with Joel in that, like, inside the actual game, because obviously football has longer commercial breaks and it has the halftime, but inside the actual game while it's going, it does feel like football moves at the bigger pace, because pre-pitch clock, I mean, guys like Frommer, when he used to be able to take off his hat, rub his palm, do the whole thing. Jamie Moyer was always a super slow pitcher. Like, if you didn't have runners on base during an inning, it felt like you went 10 minutes at a time with nothing really happening. But at the same time, like, I've never understood, like, I'm fine with the pitch clock, but the whole idea of, like, a, like, hard clock for the entire game, like, okay, you shorten the game from 3.5 hours to 3:15. The guy who says baseball's too long, is he really going to be enticed to watch the game because it's now 15 minutes shorter? Like, I don't think I'm fine with the pitch clock because I do want it to move a little bit faster, but I don't think this is going to bring in a whole new audience of baseball viewers, because the guy that thinks 3:30 is too long is not going to be okay with 3:15.
See, I think the other thing that everybody's missing on this too, which is how hypocritical and contradictory it can be, is they're trying to shorten the time frame by changing the actual game itself. What they won't do is shorten the amount of commercials or the length of the halftime shows, because that's where they're rolling in the dough. So as much as they're trying to condense everything and make it more streamlined, the one thing that actually would do that would be what they're not touching, because that's their revenue stream, that's their cash cow, and that's how they're making all the bucks to do everything that they need to do.
I mean, if you think you're going to get any league to give up there,
that's what I'm saying. Yeah, so then So then, why be hypocritical and say I'm trying to shorten the game?
Well,
of baseball?
To credit football, I'm sure they made it up somewhere else. But that was one of the things that they did do, is because I don't remember how many years ago it was, but they went out of their way to point out that, hey, we understand we run too many commercials during football games, and so they got away from, after a touchdown or a score, they would go to a commercial, they would come back, they would kick the ball off, and then they would go to commercial and then come back. And they got away from that now, because after the change of possession, they would just kick the ball off and then just go straight into play. They got away from that because, again, that was why football was taking so long, man. It was just like, goodness gracious, that's just ridiculous. And I'm sure they made it up somewhere else, but just real quick, I just out of curiosity, I Googled it. Pace of play, no huddle offenses being run. 2011, it was ran about 5.7% of the time. 2015, about 13% of the time.
I'm not saying no huddle now.
Well, I mean, if you're going no huddle, that's
as fast as you can go.
Right.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're snapping the ball, you know. But now it's run about 20. It says more recent data indicates that some teams use it more frequently, with some utilizing it about 25% of plays. So that's usually you're just getting up to the line, you're snapping the ball within 10 seconds of the you know, getting to the line. You're reading the defense, you're snapping the ball. That's usually coming within 10 seconds or so of the play clock being reset and the ball being, you know, being set down by the line judge or whatever, referee. And so that's within 10 seconds, which is about what the pitch clock is. So that's about 25% of the time. The rest of the time, they're going back to the huddle. They're getting the play call in. I mean, that's standing around.
Maybe
so 75% of the time, they're huddling up.
I don't think viewers think football is a slow sport.
Oh, I agree with you in that. I do. But yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's also perception. It's the most popular sport.
No doubt.
People love football, so they're going to give it a pass. They're going to be like, oh, this is a great sport. This is not a slow sport. It's because you love it. It's like people that love soccer don't think it's boring.
Someone said it would have been more entertaining to make the pitchers do the swing off. Stop that. That would be absolutely ridiculous. Unless, and if you
and make the hitters
an advantage if you had a pitcher that could hit.
No,
yeah, one side has Shohei.
Just put Ohtani out there.
No, but you should make the hitters pitch to him. Did you see Aaron Judge pitching to Ohtani? Now that would be fantastic.
Well, Ohtani would be the secret weapon then, worth all the money, because he could pitch and hit. Barry just made the All-Star game into trigonometry, and that is extremely unnecessary.
Okay, fine. I got caught up in the moment. I got made it a little more complicated than it needed to be. But you got my point, Jasper.
I wasn't sure if it was just me. And I looked at Brian, and Brian had the befuddled look and then said, you know, and I was like, yeah, no, uh-uh.
You, Brian, and Jasper, y'all got my point. Suck it, nerds. Okay?
Fake Tony
Stark. Nerds, you're the one I put in points for strikeouts.
No, touche.
Yeah.
Touche.
And then when you start moving the decimal point.
I stand by the points and stuff. That could be done. It's just I may have gone
a
little.
Well, you see here, Frank on his work. 2 points.
I went a little Ross Perot.
You know what that was? That was Barry being analytical about baseball.
I got a little Ross Perot. I got a chart, see? All right.
Fake Tony Stark says, doesn't NCAA baseball have some kind of time limit rule? Didn't someone finesse the system? That was different. That was like a curfew time limit rule, I believe, in
now we're going to give orange slices?
No, they do.
7 innings. We got run ruled.
No, they did. They had like a curfew time limit where an inning couldn't start.
The Rockies would be getting run ruled every game.
Well, but,
can we make Rocky games 7 innings? I'd be for that.
I bet Rocky fans
they still wouldn't win a lot.
God.
All right, we'll continue to roll on. We can wrap some things up. If you guys have more on this, 713-780-3776. Call, text, hit us up on social media. Got a lot of interaction on all of this so far. Lots more to get to on the show as well, too. We'll get into some Texans talk and talk about the fact that, you know, there's some things going on with the Texans. How about, you know, a week from now, we'll be in training camp for the Houston Texans.
I think my pants just moved.
No, don't want to know about that, especially when we're both in studio. Also, some Rockets talk we can get into as well. And something that if it's on your mind, get it off your chest, bring it to us, and we'll get it to you. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM.
ESPN 97.5. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Hey, back on the Killer Bees. Jeremy's out on vacation, I believe, the rest of the week, but Barry Laminack is in with me. We're in studio today, tomorrow at McCormick and Schmick's in the Town and Country area, and then Friday at East River 9. Stop by and say hi, hang out with us. Reminisce, if you will, and also have some fun as we talk about current sports. Talk about this All-Star game last night. Look, there was a lot of things to unfold there. I tend to agree with you on the fact that I like the electronic strike zone. I know the umpires don't like it, but I've always been in any of the big three professional sports, and what we talk is gimmicky versus the game itself. I'm so get-the-call-right guy that the main thing to me is how many times in a night, and you know, sometimes my daughter and my daughters and my wife think that I'm convulsing because I'm like, because you look at a pitch and you're like, how can you not call that a strike?
Right.
And then you get the guys that whether, you know, the old school guys a lot more, but we've seen it every day on social media. How many calls were blown? How many were the umpire, whether he had a stick up his rear end or just, you know, and an axe to grind or just missed it, missed calls. That's part of getting the calls right. It's part of the game. I don't mind that as much as the gimmicky starting an extra inning with a man on second base, ending a game with a home run derby, in essence. Those things, to me, they're just not it's not the right fit.
I'm with you. Now, I will say, I'm with you. Let me preface that. I'm with you. I do think in the All-Star game, you can have some fun with it, but just make it appropriate. Does that make sense?
Say it again.
So you can have some fun with it, like how you finish it, or if it, like, don't be gimmicky. Don't be over the top. Have fun with it, but make it appropriate.
See, I don't think that figuring out the true result of a game should be fun, if that makes sense.
Well, I mean, in soccer, right? In hockey, they do it. But it's appropriate.
It's a real shootout, though. Yeah, right.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. Make it appropriate.
So you're saying make it a contested at bat.
Something along those lines. Yeah, make it some sort of appropriate thing, right?
So instead of playing a full inning, you have your closer go up against the other team's three best hitters.
Whatever. I'm sure there's smarter people than you and I, right?
Your analytical trigonometry.
Which was
scorekeeping.
But which, again, that wasn't appropriate, but it would be more along, you know, more appropriate than a practice squad guy or whatever you said it was throwing you know, pitches to Aaron Judge, but make it more appropriate so that the actual players are deciding the game than as opposed to home run derby stuff. I think it can be fun in that setting. I don't want to see it regular season. I don't want to see it postseason necessarily.
I don't think postseason, it would piss me off.
Oh my God. But make it appropriate. Even like, you know, like the strike zone stuff and all of the, as long as these things that they come up with, and we talked about earlier, these rule changes and these innovations, as long as it's appropriate stuff, I'm good with it. Innovation is good.
An All-Star game is not a real game. So I don't care how they end it. If that brought more attention to it and more ratings with it and people liked it, cool. Did it save pitchers' arms? Sure, maybe. But the pitchers weren't out there throwing multiple innings anyway. But when you start talking about the purity of the game with regular season games, that's what drives me nuts. I don't like the man on second base to start because it's an unfair disadvantage to the pitcher that's coming in the game, whether he gets the loss or not, or the earned run or not. I feel like it's an unfair disadvantage to the team itself, based on who, you know, who did what and what they have left on the bench and whatever, and pitchers in the pen. But I understand they don't want to make the game as long. But I think that's, again, that goes back to the original of this is what makes baseball baseball. So
let me ask you this. What if you did stuff like once you got to extra innings, you could bring back guys that maybe like in the seventh inning, you pinch hit for a guy.
Mm-hmm.
What if you got to the 10th inning, you could bring that guy that got pinch hit for, you could bring him back in the lineup if you wanted to. Right? You could use his bat again. Maybe
I don't mind it, and I know that teams would probably abuse it. I don't mind it because of the fact that you eliminate the gimmicky runners on base, but some would say that you're still messing with the game because the science of managing a baseball game goes out the window when you have a guy that's been taken out of the game that you can put back in.
I'm just saying stuff like that, right? I mean, like, it's a little bit of a tweak. It allows you to bring back, because how many times have we seen that where, I mean, I don't remember which game it was. It was coming down to the end, but Paredes hit a double, tied the game. He's on second. They put in Corona, who'd they put in?
Yeah, my Corona.
Yeah. They put in, who was it that they put in?
As a pinch runner. They took it. They actually took Paredes out of the game and put Corona in.
Did they? It was Corona. Okay.
And at the time, Jeremy and I both talked about it. Like, I don't know if you want to do that.
Right? Because what happens if it, so, extra but in that case, you could be like, hey, you know what? This is a high reward, low risk, because I know if it goes extras, I could bring him back. Now, you're not really changing the game a ton, but you're saying, I'm going to pinch run
for
him.
You're not going to do that with pitchers, are you?
Because with pitchers, you can't do it. Yeah, no, but because they've already cooled down, now they got to warm up again, you're going to hurt them. But a guy like that, Paredes, you could say, all right, I'm going to pinch run for him because it's the eighth or ninth inning, right? Now, you can't bring him back until it's extra innings. So you're going to have to deal with not having him out there defensively or whatever, whether, you know, if you did that in the eighth inning, you got to deal with the ninth inning. But once you get to the 10th, you could bring him back again. And so you're basically saying, I'm going to pinch run for him in that scenario because I'm trying to get a run out of this to either tie it or win the game. And then once, you know, it's a high reward, low risk play because I know I can bring him back in extras. Stuff like that, it's a tweak, but it's not, it's a little gimmicky, but it's not, you know, crazy.
As we play Rob Manfred from the Palatial ESPN studios, I would say you could only do that with one player.
I like that. That's
I would
great.
Say that you could only do that with can't one do it player, a ton, and you could not do it with pitchers.
I dig it.
Because then at least you
Done.
You can get one of your best players.
Call Rob. Make it happen.
I'll get right on it.
What's next? What are we solving next?
Solving problems.
Let's go. Yeah.
I mean, you're the judge and jury in there, B-Mac. Where are you with that?
Yeah, I'm fine with the rule. I don't think it really changes anything as far as, like, the speed or like keeping games from going 15 innings or anything, but I like that wrinkle to the game.
Because what it does is it does potentially speed up the game because you put a faster runner on second.
Yeah, now you mentioned the case of the pinch runner, but you could also see guys like in games where Yordan's playing left, maybe you have a defensive switch in the ninth inning, you put in Chaz or whoever, and now, oh crap, they tied it up, we're going to extras, now you got Yordan back in.
Right, so it's you're actually, you know, you're speeding up the game or you're eliminating potential extra inning games, but then you're also bringing him back to maybe end those extra inning games early if possible. So, and it's just a slight tweak; it's not anything crazy. So stuff like that, it has that gimmicky feel, but it's really not that crazy when you think about it. And I don't mind stuff like that, but I do agree with you. You know, runner on second. Why not just have? Let's just get crazy. Let's just have an all-time QB in the NFL, like we used to do in street ball. You know, let's P for K. Let's just have a all-time runner on a team. You just have somebody hit, and then he just takes off from home plate. Like, some of this stuff is wild.
Yeah, I think that's what turns me off is just how much it's become a gimmick instead of the true purity of what baseball's always been. I get what you're saying because it's kind of like what I said about what I like about this All-Star game. Just from a competitive standpoint, I want to see the best pitchers in baseball going up against the best hitters in baseball. If that means that the way you decide games is, but again, teams aren't going to burn their best pitchers in an extra inning game. Mm-mm. You're not going to be able to, and like you said, you're not going to have a guy that's already pitched come back into a game. Mm-mm. So there is so many different limitations. There's only so many different ways you can do this. But I do hate the fact that you're penalizing a team and putting a guy on second base when they have done nothing to deserve that.
What if they moved him to first?
I still don't like it because it's not part of the game. Like, how did he get there, right? He didn't hit. He didn't walk.
Yeah.
Even a dropped called third. It's just, I don't like it.
Yeah. I agree.
All right. 1 hour in, 2 hour to go. Plenty more to get to on the show. If you guys have other things you want to get off your chest to get out onto the platform, we're happy to talk about it. Jeremy out for the rest of the week. Barry in with me. Brian McDonald behind the glass. Hour two coming up right after these important words from your local stations and otherwise. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.